So just to guard us against, the fact is, prophecy and knowing the time is a very interesting thing. It would be great now after this conference that everyone would know what the day of the Lord is, what the day of man is, what the day of God is, and how to, what happened when and where, and having all of these information. It's great. It will give you some kind of sense of, because curiosity usually associated with that. What's going to happen in the future? Now, I could spell it out for you. I could know everything. But what he's saying is, look, as we have heard already, and I'm just going to not go over what was said. The fact of the matter is, it should have impact on you. Mm-hmm. It is not what going to happen when and where and which one is going to come first. Is the day of the Lord starting with the rapture, with the tribulation, with the beginning of the millennium? You know, and you get into that. But the fact of the matter is this, what impact that have on you? And he said, because you know that. There is something called a sanctified, a holy life, a separated life. A life that is set apart for God. That is, excuse me, that's a holy life. Is my life, knowing now, having sat in that Bible conference, having sat in local assemblies, having read books about these things, is my life now sanctified life? Is it a life that's set apart for God? Or I just know this information and I could spit them out and I could tell everybody about it. In godliness, in all godliness, is that the manner of life? And I'm just going to, if you don't mind, Tony, just connect that with verse 14, because he gives us just a little bit detail and we will get back to that. But the whole idea, what he's saying in verse 14, in without spot and blameless. Without spot and blameless. You are walking in a defiling scene. Are you? Can I look at you and I see a spot in you? Is there a spot in you? Are you walking very carefully, set apart, sanctified, that there is no spot on you? Are you blameless? Going to say, well, look who is talking. Here is the thing. Here is the thing. Talk is cheap. Talk is very cheap. Many of you could sit in a Bible reading and say stuff. But I tell you what, it's not going to have any impact if your life does not reflect it. Mm. Let me say that one more time. Talk is cheap. Are you blameless? Are you blameless? Or you could just sit and, you know, because you know the rope. You know how to do it. You could throw a comment or do something or act up in a certain way and everybody say, oh yeah, he's wonderful. Are you blameless? I'm not going to say that to discourage you. But the challenge is this. Knowing all of these things, show me. Show me. Lot said the right things. He was absolutely right. The Lord was going to burn the city. He was absolutely right. People said, why are you kidding? He was blamed. He had a spot and he was to be blamed. Therefore, it is important, you said, policing yourselves. It is important to do diligent. He said that in the beginning of verse 14. To be diligent in regard to this matter. To be extra careful of how we are living day in and day out in a very practical thing. I need to be spotless. I need to be blameless. I might fall sometimes, but that should not be the norm. That's an exception. But I need to be very diligent in watching my life. It's so easy to find something wrong with somebody. Don't look at somebody else. Look at Christ. And that's the point that John was making earlier on. Don't look at yourself. Look at Christ and say, this is my standard. From now on, I am going to follow that standard. It goes back again. How do I know how Christ lived? Read the word. Read the word. Read the word. You see the full circle we're talking about? It's all connected together.
I'm occupied for a second with a thought that sometimes we observe it in our lives, and that is the thought of hypocrisy, and I want to bring two verses. As far as I know in the scripture pertaining believers, there's twice that there is that word ought to. The first one that I want you to consider is the meeting setting, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, that thou mayest know how you ought to behave in the house of God. That is a small circle. It's amongst the saints of God. And so many of us can put a good act in that setting. But the life of the believer is a life of consistency. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we fall into this trap that amongst the saints I'm one person, and outside that circle of the house of God I'm another person. Mm-hmm. That's called hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. Because the ought to be what manner of men sisters, young brothers, young sisters, you ought to be. Now, this is a wider circle. It is not only pertaining the house of God, but it is pertaining the world, that I'm going to display this holiness and godliness, not now in the house of God. It's so easy to show it in the house of God. It is so easy to come to a conference like this and sit and listen and be very, or show yourself being very attentive and so forth and so on. And once we get out of this door, we start behaving in a different way. What the scripture is trying to highlight before us, that we need to be consistent, that what the way we behave in the house of God has to be the same, identical with the way we behave in this world. And that's why he says later on, great is the mystery of what? Godliness. The thought of godliness comes in there, and the thought of godliness comes in here. And brethren, young ones, please, nothing greater than the believer to be the same person as he is known in the midst of the circle of the saints of God, that person is known to be the same way when they step out and they have to rub shoulders with the people of this world. Then it says, waiting. There are three things that I certainly believe that the saints are waiting. We're waiting for what you would say, the rapture, right? The rapture, because he has a greater desire than you and me to be with us, right? But I hope that we are waiting. We have that desire to be with the Lord. The second thing is we are waiting is for his appearance, right? The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we love his appearing. What is the purpose behind it? Because we want to see that this world that have rejected your Savior and mine will honor him. That this world that hated the Lord Jesus and gave him the cross, that same world will bow the knee and will confess every individual in heaven, earth, and under the earth that he is Lord. But you know what? We're waiting for the day of God. Not only for the rapture, not only the day to see the Lord Jesus being honored and respected by all, but the day of God is that you and I, now listen, I want you to consider that thought. We sometimes we don't have the right evaluation about sin. We don't have the right evaluation. What costed the Lord Jesus to pay for sin? With the day of God, I am waiting to see that everything that was tainted with sin will be completely removed from the scene. That's why I'm waiting for that day, because there will be no mentioning, no mark, no sign of sin when the Lord will dissolve all these things and remove them from the scene completely. And that's what I'm waiting for. I hope you will have the right evaluation about sin, that God hates it so much that he's not only that he judges his son, yes, we know that, but he also wants to remove everything that has been tainted with sin. Let us not live in sin here in this world. Let us have the right evaluation. God hates sin. You and I, we should hate sin and run away from it so that we can honor the Lord in our lives.
I just had a question. I know I've struggled with this quite a bit, and I'm sure a lot of other young people have struggled with it. If a brother could help me out, how do we continue to police ourselves and examine ourselves, constantly evaluate ourselves, yet not fall into a legalistic attitude in our lives?